You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. Greetings. We greet you in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ, and it's just a blessing to be alive on this morning. We just thank God for the rain. Some places we got a little more than we can handle, but we thank God for the rain just the same, because He knows what we need and what we can handle. And we were mighty dry, mighty dry. We hadn't had no rain since the beginning of March. We had a little rain here and there, but nothing significant like we normally do when it's as hot as it's been. So we just thank God this morning for the rain. And we just thank God for all those that are out there that are listening this morning. We just thank God for life, health, and strength on this morning. It's just good to be alive and to be breathing in His air. And so we just thankful that He's allowed our golden moments to roll on a little while longer. And so, most gracious and eternal Father, we just thank You right now for another day. Lord God, we ask that You just look down upon us right now, knowing that we have a great need, and that need is to have a closer, more intimate, more personal relationship with Your Son, Jesus, to be able to commune with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank You right now for all that You're doing in this season. Lord, please don't do it without us. We want to be a part of the kingdom upbuilding. Lord, we want to be a part of the spreading of the gospel. Lord, we just want to tell somebody about Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your saving power, Lord. Just have Your way on this morning, Lord God. Let Your word go forth with power and simplicity, that the least of them will understand it, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank You right now. Thank You that You would look down on the bereaved families, Lord God, and touch them. Give them peace and comfort, knowing that You are not a God that You make any mistakes. But it is just that time. And Lord, we thank You that if they die in You, that they are blessed, they are with You, and they are highly favored. We just thank You right now, Lord God, for looking down on those who are sick and afflicted right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, touch them right now. Somebody's been sitting on the side of the bed half the night, body racking with pain, Lord. But we know that You are a divine healer. Lord, we ask that You just pour out Your healing virtue right now, Lord God. All those that don't know You, Lord, let Your spirit draw them this morning as the word go forth, Lord. Prick their hearts, Lord God. Go into the creeps and the crevices and draw them by Your spirit, that they will come saying, I yield, I yield. I can't hold out any longer, Lord. We just thank You right now, Lord, for the backslider, Lord. You said that You married to the backslider. Lord, touch right now in a mighty way, Lord God. Oh, draw them in right now. Draw them back into the fold, Lord God. Brush them off and put them back where they should be, Lord. But not where they would have been, not where they are in time, but just put them where they should be at, Lord God. Oh, we thank You, because we know there's no time with You. It's only eternity. When we walk by faith, we're walking in eternity. We step out of time, because time has no hold on eternity. Lord, we just thank You right now for being a God of all, that You loved so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, Lord. We thank You that whosoever will, let him come. Lord, we thank You this morning, Lord. We put our trust in You, Lord God. We put our faith in You. We press toward the mark of the high calling of that is in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We thank You right now, Lord God. We thank you. Just have your way, Lord. Bless the owners of the radio station, Lord, that men and women, the technicians who make it happen, that the gospel go forth over the airways, the men and women who come in preaching, teaching, prophesying, ministering, Lord God, praying, lifting up the name of Jesus. Continue to anoint them, empower them, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit. Oh, give them everything they need. Give them provision for the vision. Lord, we thank you right now. It is in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. And this morning, we're looking at Galatians. We done finished up with 2 Corinthians, and we in Galatians now. And I'm going to read Galatians 1. I'm going to start at verse 17. And it reads as thus, "Nor did I even go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles, special messengers of Christ, before I was, but I went away and retired into Arabia. And afterward, I came back again to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I did go up to Jerusalem to become personally acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and remain with him for 15 days. But I did not see any of the other apostles, the special messengers of Christ, except James, the brother of our Lord. Now note carefully what I am telling you, for it is the truth. Write this as if I was standing before the bar of God. I do not lie. Then I went into the districts, countries, regions of Syria and Cilicia. And so far, I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Christ in Judea, the country surrounding Jerusalem. They were only hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now proclaiming the very faith he once reviled and which he set out to ruin and tried with all his might to destroy.' And they glorified God as the author and source of what had taken place in me." Amen. Amen. So here we find Paul, and he's talking to the church at Galatia. And he's addressing the same thing that he was addressing in Corinth. And he's letting them know, look, I am an apostle called by Jesus Christ. God himself called me on that road to Damascus and sent me to preach to the Gentiles. And so the false teachers and the false prophets had come in, and they were challenging who Paul was to the church that he'd established. And he told them, look, ain't no man called me. And I wasn't commissioned and instructed by no man, but I was commissioned and called and instructed by God himself. So I'm not trying to please man, but I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is what he's telling them. And look, and anybody coming to you preaching any other gospel is accursed. If they come preaching any other gospel, because we've already laid the foundation. We've already laid the foundation. He said, I'm recapping. He recaps on how he was called and how he went through going about ministering the gospel. And he said, nor did I even go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles, special messengers of Christ. And I'm reading from the Amplified version this morning. Before I was, but I went away and retired into Arabia, and afterward I came back into Damascus. So he's letting them know that, look, when I was first called, I didn't come back to Jerusalem. I didn't come back to the headquarters. I didn't come to the apostles that were called before me. But I went into other countries and preached the gospel. And then I came back to Damascus. So what he's telling them is, look, I didn't need y'all permission to do what I was doing, and the enemy will come in and try to question. We talked about this last time, your identity, whose you are and who you are. But when you know whose you are and who you are in Christ, when you know that you are a son of the Most High God, you have power over the enemy. And they were being coerced and they were being seduced by these doctrines of demons. And they was preaching another gospel. And they was preaching another Jesus. And he said, neither did I go up. This is not he didn't go up there at once. You know, he had a time set. But his commission was to go into the place he went, because he couldn't go unless God led him to go. And so that's where he was led to go. And but he went up to Arabia. Arabia was south of Damascus. And at no great distance, the line indeed between Arabia and Deserta and Syria is not very definitely marked. But it all kind of runs in together. And so the account is his journey into Arabia is wholly admitted by Luke in Acts also. Luke accounts it in Acts. But Paul is telling him, look, I'm not trying to please man. I'm trying to please God. We've already taught you the basis, the foundation of the gospel. That's Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the justification by faith in Jesus Christ. No other way. You can't work. And these false prophets was coming in trying to tear down everything Paul had established as an apostle, as a father of the house and the churches, because he was their spiritual father. He had raised them up from babes in Christ. So he was teaching them, look, I know they coming in saying this and that, but you already have the foundation. You already have the foundation, so there should be no cause for you to doubt. And he said, then after 3 years, probably 3 years after his departure from Jerusalem to Damascus, not after his return to Arabia. So most commentators have understood that. So the fact is, he went up to Jerusalem, more correctly in the margin, return. He returned to Jerusalem after 3 years of being in Arabia and back in Damascus. So he went up. So this is 3 years after his conversion. So he's recapping. He's letting them know. And he went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And Peter was the oldest and most distinguished of the apostles. And James was also there. James, all of them was there, but this is the only one he went to see, and the only one he seen other than Peter was James, the brother of Jesus, which James headed up the church in Jerusalem. So it was probably, however, from the celebrity distinction which he knew Peter had among the apostles. Peter had Peter would cuss and cut you and everything else, but Peter was the one preaching on the day of Pentecost in upper room with the 120 when Jesus told them to wait on the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit come upon them, they gonna be endued with power. They gonna have power to do what he's called them to do, because we can't carry this gospel and we can't do what God has commissioned us to do in our own strength. But it is by the strength and the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that he has gifted us with. When we believe and receive him as our Lord and Savior, when we are born again, we're born of the Spirit. So we receive Jesus' Spirit lives on the inside of us. His Spirit was with the early apostles, was with them, but it lives, it dwells in us. He has taken up residency. He abides in us. as we abide in him. And so he went up and seen Peter and abode with him for 15 days. So a little better than 2 weeks, he stayed with Peter. And they fellowshipped. And so this is where we find him at. Save James, the brother of Jesus. And like I said, James, the brother of Jesus, was the pastor of the church. He headed up the church. He was the apostle of that church in Jerusalem. So he headed up that church. He was the father of that church. But the thing about it is, what Paul is trying to tell him is, behold, before God, I lie not. I'm not lying to y'all. These false teachers, these false prophets that have come to you, undermining the very foundation that we've already established, they're the ones lying. I'm not lying to you. And he said, behold, before God. In other words, God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I have no reason to lie to you. I birthed y'all. I built that foundation in Galatia. I taught you the gospel and set everything in order. And now that's just like the enemy to come when there's a great work being done. Just like Nehemiah on the wall. He's doing a great work, but Sanballat and Tobias want him to come down and deal with them with foolery. Because he's doing a great work. That's how the enemy is. And in other words, Paul, you're doing a great work. Don't come down. Don't come down. You got a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Don't come down. You're doing a great work. And this is what I would tell Paul today. You're doing a great work. Paul is just letting them know, look, the enemy has creeped in and he's perverting and seducing you with doctrines of demons. He's giving you some other gospel. And if you follow behind that and accept that other gospel and this other Jesus, you are accursed. And there's no way around it. So this is what he's pleading with them about. And he said, afterward, I came. In this account, he has admitted a circumstance recorded by Luke in Acts 9 and 29. And the controversy which he had with the Grecians, the Hellenists, it was not material to the purpose which he has here in view, which is stated that he was not indebted to the apostles for his knowledge of the doctrines of Christianity. He therefore merely states that he left Jerusalem soon after he went there and traveled to other places. So, in other words, he didn't have to give an account to the other apostles, and he didn't have to give an account to man because man didn't call him. He was called by Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus when he was, yes, persecuting. He was persecuting the church, but he had it twisted. He thought he was doing right. So he was caught up in the religion. He was caught up in the religion. So, but he had an encounter with Jesus. And once you have an encounter with Jesus, you can't be the same. They was afraid of Paul at first because they said it was a trick. Because he was binding them up, locking them up. He had orders from the high priest. Huh? He had orders so he could lock them up, bind them up. He was even probably killing some of them. So on the road to Damascus, this is what he was headed to do. He had paperwork with him then. But Jesus said, enough is enough. I have work for you to do for the kingdom. Not for the kingdom of darkness, but for the kingdom of light. For the kingdom of God. I have work for you to do. So he knocked him off his beast and put his word in his heart. Blinded him for 3 days. So he had to go in and see Ananias on a street called Straight. Ain't that just like Jesus to straighten us out? Huh? He straightened us out. And for him to have the scales fall off his eyes, he had to go to a street called Straight to see Ananias. And Ananias was trouble. He had to talk to the Lord, and the Lord had to reveal to him, look, this is my man. I've called him. So lay your hands on and pray for him that he might receive his sight. So he was able to see in the spirit realm now. what he was seeing in the natural, he lost that. But when his eyes open, he's seeing in the realm of the spirit. He's seeing in the kingdom of God. So he's on a different assignment now. He's on a different assignment. And they was afraid of Paul because they thought it was a trick because of his past. And see, isn't that just like people to judge you by your past when you're telling them and you're showing them? See, that's why I say the best sermon we'll ever preach is how we live. Because what I say is one thing, but what I do is a whole nother other thing. So people are watching us. They're watching us. If I say I'm a man of God, if I say I'm preaching, teaching, and ministering the gospel, if I say I'm living for Christ and old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, huh, he is a new creature. But people are watching you to see how you're going to live, how you're going to react to certain situations and circumstances. You're going to act like you used to act. You're going to say what you used to say. You're going to go to places you used to go. No. So people are watching us. So you have to be mindful. Be mindful that that's the best sermon that you ever preach. So, Paul said, and I was unknown by face. They didn't know me by the face. A lot of them didn't know me by my face. Huh? A lot of the churches in Judea, which were in Christ, they didn't know me. They just heard of me. They heard of me when I was persecuting. Now they're hearing of me as I'm preaching and teaching and starting all these churches, these establishing these meeting places, these sanctuaries for the kingdom of God. So now they're hearing about him, but they haven't met him. So Paul could be right beside a lot of them, and they wouldn't even know him. They wouldn't even recognize him. But they had only heard. They had only heard of him. That's all. They only heard of him. They only heard of him. And see, this is the one right here. What I'm looking at is because on this in particular one, they were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now proclaiming the very faith he once reviled and which he set out to ruin and tried with all his might to destroy. Yeah, we were all wretches undone with our own agenda going about before we had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We were all doing our own thing, and we thought it was right. Every man has a plan, and he think what he's doing is right in his own sight. But you show me a man that makes plans without God, he's a fool. Because we don't know what God's plan is for our lives, and it's revealed to us as we follow him and as we study and meditate on his word, as we commune with the Holy Spirit, and as we fellowship with Christ in prayer. We're talking to him, and he's talking back to us. So, and that's one thing that we have to not forget. We're talking, and when we're done, we get up if we're on our knees. If we're not, we finish and go on about our business. No. It's two-way. We're having dialogue. We're not having monologue, not one way. We're having dialogue. So it goes two ways. So we have to listen after we've made our petition and our request known, our supplication, after we've made them known to him. And then we have to listen to what he has to say and not just go always asking for him to do something for us, but seeking his face, seeking his guidance, seeking the mind and the heart of God, not just his hand, but wanting to have a closer, more intimate, more personal relationship with him, just to fellowship and commune with him, not asking for something all the time, but just to know his heart and to know the mind of God. And spend time, precious time with him. So Paul is letting them know, look, yeah, I used to be that one. I was persecuting, huh? I'm that same one now that's preaching faith, huh? That has faith in the finished work on the cross. I'm the same one. I used to be binding y'all up and taking y'all, locking y'all up and killing y'all. But now God has put me on the right path. And that's what a lot of us need. We need for God to put us on the right path. Because if we're chasing after the world and chasing after all the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, if we chase it after these things, we misinform, because it's going to come to naught. And in a burning hell, we'll lift up our eyes. But we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we have to not try to do things our way, but we have to say, your will be done. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Lead me, guide me, teach me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Bring to my remembrance every word God has said. Hide it in my heart, engrave it in my heart. Let it flow out of my mouth like a river. That should be our petition. That we want to know, because Jesus is the Word. So if we're going to have communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, His Spirit living in us, we're going to have to get into this Word. And so this is what Paul is saying. Look, I know I used to be a wretch undone, but Jesus has fixed it on the inside of me. He's fixed it. He's put His Spirit in me. And He's given me His instructions and an assignment. I have an assignment. And this is what He's called me to do before I was ever in my mother's womb. He had already called me before the foundations of the world. He's already called us. And when we were doing our own thing and persecuting the church, persecuting Jesus, because when you're living in sin, that's what you're doing. You're persecuting the church. You're persecuting the body of Christ. The kingdom of God. So you have to change. You have to repent. Change your mindset. Change. Turn. And go in another direction. Go in on the straight and the narrow. You've been going down the broad way. But there's many lights. But you got to go down the straight and the narrow. Not many find that way. Because it's not popular. But you have to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. And this is what Paul is doing now. He's preaching faith. He's proclaiming faith. He's proclaiming faith. And he's not being deterred by what the false teachers are doing. He's not being deterred. And it says that, and they glorified God as the author and source of what had taken place in me. Paul is saying, look, I'm preaching faith now, but God get all the glory. Because they see the life that I'm living. They see the life. They hear. Even if they have never seen my face, they hear. They know the works I'm doing. And that's why the devil has come in to try to tear up something. But y'all stand on that firm foundation, that gospel that I've already given you from the beginning. Stand on that firm foundation. This is what I'm telling you. You already had it. And if you've been anywhere around, you've heard the gospel. Stand on the gospel. Stand on that firm foundation. Don't be sidetracked, because there's many going out into the world. Many of them are preaching a false doctrine, because you're going to be accursed. But stand on that firm foundation that Jesus has given us, that has been preached to us from the very beginning. So until next time, just remember, be blessed. We love you. We're praying for you. Keep the faith. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. Amen.
We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust them at all times.
by Rook.